WDK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Ahead of a hearing today on deportations, President Trump continued to criticize the federal judge who ordered a temporary halt to those deportations of alleged gang members last weekend. As the president uses the Alien Enemies Act, ABC's Selena Wang has more.
It was really notable just to underscore what the president said there in that room to our Karen Travers when she asked if the president has the power to round up hundreds of people, deport them to a foreign country with no hearing, and that the president has no obligation to any court to show what the evidence is against those people or what their names are. And the president's response was, quote, that's what the law said, what our country needs.
Homeland Security announcing it's closing the entire Office of Civil Liberties. The department's mission was to help support DHS to secure the nation while preserving individual liberty, fairness, and equality under the law. Egg prices dropping for a fourth straight week. Wholesale prices for a dozen now set at $3.27. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging residents to order native plants for their gardens to help support the state's pollinators. According to a press release, native plant sales are popping up across the state through June, with plants of all sizes, shapes, and colors to give residents plenty of options. In addition to looking great, plants like Joe Pye Weed can provide an excellent habitat for birds, butterflies, and bees. A full list of native plant sales can be found on the Department of Natural Resources website. Amid harsh debate on Thursday, Republicans in the Wisconsin State Assembly approved four bills restricting the rights of transgender kids in the state. Two of the bills would restrict trans kids from joining women's sports teams from kindergarten through college. One would bar minors from accessing gender-affirming care, and the other would not allow students to use a different name or pronouns without permission from their parents. Governor Tony Evers has already promised to veto any bills he sees as targeting the LGBTQ+ community. A Washburn County nonprofit has launched a new program to help seniors and adults with disabilities access transportation services. The Neighbor to Neighbor organization's new program utilizes volunteers with their own vehicles to transport people who can't drive themselves around the area. Participants in the program can use the service to get to medical appointments, attend community events, or just go shopping at local businesses for free. The service is primarily funded by donations, and driving volunteers are thoroughly vetted. Duluth International Airport officials are reminding residents of planned infrastructure investments after a University of Minnesota report detailing the airport's importance to the local economy. According to the report, the airport generates $1.4 billion for the local economy each year and supports over 4,000 jobs. Officials will invest nearly $150 million over 5 years, including replacing the third oldest air traffic control tower in the country. They say the investments will be more than paid back by the economic benefits of the airport. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks drain the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Lakers in L.A. last night, 118-89. At one point, Milwaukee led by 35. Kyle Kuzma on what's kept the Bucks together despite losing five of their last eight.
I think our positivity as a group, our communication as a group. I think in that Golden State game and even OKC and the games prior, we kind of get into like a phase where we don't talk as much. We're like locked in. But I think consistently we did a good job of being positive and having a good spirit. I thought that was a good thing.
March Madness, Marquette faces the New Mexico Lobos tonight in Cleveland in the NCAA tournament. The Badgers advance after beating Montana yesterday, 85-66. John Blackwell led with 19 points. Up next, Wisconsin faces BYU tomorrow night at 6:25. And in Madison, the Boys State High School semifinals continue today at the Kohl Center. The state finals are tomorrow. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and breezy today, with those winds warming us up to highs flirting with 50. But as a front moves through this afternoon, winds switch to out of the north and blast us with some cold. This means spotty sprinkles in the afternoon could flip to a few flurries in the evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
The Todd Alba Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the Northwoods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Pat Kreitlow. On Monday, we'll talk to the economics department chair at UW-Eau Claire about the hit Wisconsin's going to take in Donald Trump's trade war.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy, happy Friday to us all. I know it's Friday. Double check. Got it down on my notes. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board, and you could join us today as well. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Jess as hell. It's Friday, and today is my co-host, our good friend, James Santel. He is the host of Amicus, a law review. You can check out his fine program on Saturdays. That's tomorrow, 9 to 11 a.m. He takes all your calls and questions as well. Jim, welcome to the show, man. Great to see you.
And today I am delighted once again to be with you and Jess in anticipation of the weekend, but a few things to talk about even before we get there, right?
Oh, man. It keeps on coming. Lots of national stuff, lots of local stuff. I want to start, I guess, primarily in the local arena right now. The Wisconsin Supreme Court race, man, we got Judge Susan Crawford. I'm going to say her name a whole lot more. Thanks, Chris. Going against BS. Thank you, Tom. His name is Brad Schimmel. We're just going to call him BS because, you know, that's what he's kind of full of. So we got it all figured out here. And we know, Jim, man, this Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, well, he loves himself some Wisconsin Supreme Court justice candidates called BS. He's putting in a lot of money. And now he's got a whole new trick, man. It's kind of like the old trick, but, you know, maybe updated for 2025. As Axios reports, Musk's PAC offers $100 to Wisconsin voters and pitch against quote-unquote activist judges. Yeah, man, Musk giving you $100. Let's hear more from Axios. His political action committee is offering Wisconsin voters $100 to sign a petition expressing their opposition to quote-unquote activist judges, a cause that President Trump is pressing as judges block or delay several of his parts of his agenda. Well, there's a whole other issue for that because, you know, maybe he's overreaching his bounds. But anyway, I digress. The move reflects how Musk is throwing his considerable wealth behind Trump's priorities, including an upcoming election in Wisconsin for a crucial seat on the state Supreme Court. And we all know April 1st is the election. Again, folks, go out and vote for Susan Crawford, not BS. Vote for Susan Crawford. Here's what the petition says. The Wisconsin campaign is entering its final days as Trump and his allies are attacking federal judges, standing in the way of his agenda. Trump has been particularly critical of a judge who is questioning the administration's deportation of alleged Venezuelan gang members. And I know, counselor, we're going to have that conversation in just a bit.
Yes, we will.
Trump and Musk have called for the impeachment of that judge. And here's what the petition says. By signing below, I am rejecting the actions of activist judges who impose their own views and demanding a judiciary that respects its role, interpreting, not legislating, the petition says. Now, after a voter signs the petition and is credited with $100, Musk's team won't know for sure whether or how the person voted in Wisconsin's election. But the groups will have one thing, the voters' data, which will allow the group to contact them again in the future. Now, he did something similar, right? He was putting people, sign up for a chance to win $1 million in the last election, right?
Right, for registering.
Yes. Right. So, I mean, it seems shady as hell, but then I'm also like, well, if he's giving the money away, folks, you'll get the money. But I'm thinking, well, don't do that, because now you're just encouraging the bastard. So, Jim, what are your thoughts on this new hustle from Musk and Trump?
It does seem like a hustle, doesn't it? Anytime you're paying people to do things, to express their views, which presumably if you sign this petition, you believe in what you're putting your name to, but we still have to encourage you. We've got to push you over the edge by giving you $100. And again, that's one of the many problems with this. We recall also, this administration also seems to be, again, very money oriented. Call this other very peculiar thing where the president has said, we've got this sort of credit card. I think you can buy it for $30,000. And you can come here, it expedites your immigration status. All these things where there are proper processes that Americans can take advantage of. And now we're monetizing them, right? We're giving people money for, again, signing their name. There is no reason why you should have to do that if indeed you're identifying people who believe that. And of course, what this really is all about is once again for the media, for consumption by the base that says, yes, indeed. Here's the stronghold of people in Wisconsin who are rejecting, frankly, Judge Boasberg. We'll talk about him later. But frankly, even judges here in Wisconsin who might be labeled as activists, for example, Susan Crawford, she is not. She doesn't fall in that category. But this is also really just a campaign trick, if you will, and intended once again to get the attention that he's plainly getting through money, which is the one thing that he and Donald Trump, that's the currency, quite literally, that they know well.
Right. We're calling them the Musk Bucks, right? Mm-hmm. They were Zucker Bucks last time before the mega, embraced Zuckerberg, and he was standing behind Donald Trump in the inauguration, right?
Well, now putting all of your money into politics and paying people to do what you want, that's great. And that was definitely happening before?
I mean, you can't, come on. I mean, here's what gets me about this. And granted, so he's not paying them to go vote directly for BS, right? He's not paying them.
Because just as an aside, Dom, on that point,
yes,
that would be in violation of something called the Voting Rights Act. And you can get sued for that, maybe even criminally. So we haven't gone there quite
yet. I know, but it's so close, man.
But we're just doing a step below that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. You can't give people water who are sitting in line, like down south at 100 degrees for hours, because, of course, it's kind of on purpose that way. Because maybe they'll disenfranchise them from voting. You go give them somebody water who's boiling in the heat, and you're committing a crime, but Musk can give you a fake petition and give you $100 and you go do what you want. Now, again, I get, but I don't think giving water to somebody who's thirsty, who's standing in line, is a violation of that either, any more than this would be.
It is not. It certainly is not. And again, the courts have come down, thankfully, squarely in support of that. And here's the other point that you just made. The other thing that this does, of course, it, to the extent that these folks who are signing up, presumably, I'm guessing they're providing an email, maybe a phone number, you get additional numbers, you get additional contacts, so that whether it's in advance of this April 1 election here, down the road for the midterms in 18 months or so, you've got another great tranche, a great stash of people here that you can go to and say, hey, remember, we were already talking with you about this judicial activism thing. Here, now we've got to advance another issue here. It gives the Trump folks, it gives the Musk people another set of names to reach out to. And again, and even ask for money in support of campaigns down the road.
Asking for money? Hell no. If I was to engage with the Musk Bucks in this case, and they gave me $100 to sign some stupid-ass petition, they came around next time and said, hey, how about this? They'd be like, sure, but now it's $250. You know, the price just went up. You can't encourage the guys. You know, they're going to want to get paid every time you pick up the phone. It kind of goes against the whole thing. But what I mean, it, It's the state of Wisconsin, man. He's already spent like $20 million or close to, according to the Axios article, in the state of Wisconsin through his different front groups. And Jim, this thing is already, I think, like $70 million spent with 2 weeks still to go, as the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign has predicted, perhaps over $100 million. Man, it's the Dr. Evil of Wisconsin Supreme Court elections.
And shouldn't that point, this business with the survey here, the petition here, it's all very interesting. It's silly. It's stupid. But that's the larger point, Dom, right? Which is the extent to which money has not just become a part of our election. It is our election right now. And again, who do we thank for that? The Supreme Court. This goes back to Citizens United. Yes, indeed. There are also restrictions in Wisconsin as well and things you cannot do. But that's the supreme law of the land. We need desperately to get back to a time when people are not prompted to vote by the number of ads they see on television, the number of hangers on their door, the number of signs in the front yards. We need to figure out some way of this becoming more merit-based. A number of debates, we articulate who these candidates are, and we just can't continue this. It is truly, truly obscene.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is James Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, broadcasting right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Saturdays, 9 to 11, Jim's going to be with us all day. I want to move on to some of these other topics. We do have an early caller, Jeannie from Eau Claire. Thank you for calling, Jeannie. We'll take your call while we have some moments in this first segment. Welcome, Jeannie. Happy Friday. What do you got for us?
Friday too. Remember tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. Great. And thank you for having him on.
Yes.
Now I have to bring up a point that's really kind of got my fur a mess. So, by signing this, you are having an eligible or maybe an ineligible Wisconsin signature on this petition that states a lie about the position that they're voting on, and that would be a person endorsing this lie, validating the lie, because people may say, oh, I see, oh, he signed it, I trust him, yeah, we need to do this, you know. And on every postcard that I've gotten, one of them huge ones, I've gotten 9, I got one the other day again, you know, with negatives on the female candidate, the wonderful one, saying activist judge and things like that. So I just, and none against him being an activist judge. Just want to throw that at you.
Right.
Really nefarious. Bye.
Thank you, Jeannie. Bye. Yeah, it'd be hard to trust anything with Donald Trump and certainly Elon Musk. You know, so be careful what you sign up for, and what could they do with their signature? What do they do with the data? All those kinds of things, certainly. But to your point, here's what the petition says. By signing below, I'm rejecting the actions of activist judges who impose their own views and demanding a judiciary that respects its role, interpreting, not legislating. And of course, Jim, this comes on the heels of the criticism this administration is leveling, and frankly, the threats, both physical and threats of impeachment against these judges who have the temerity to push back against what they seemingly are thinking are unconstitutional executive orders. That's why, you know, most presidents have to push their agenda through Congress. You know, they got to make laws to impact that, not executive orders. But I mean, if the guy wanted to do this, so welcome to it. But he can't get mad when these, you know, CRAN written orders get tossed out for being overreaching. Folks, come back with us. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, going to come back and talk about, we'll get some more of your calls. And Brad Schimmel, I want to get your opinion on something he said not so long ago.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm Sheriff Todd Scarbin with an important message. Law enforcement teams from across Wisconsin work extremely hard to keep you safe, especially from violent crime. When liberal judges refuse to actually punish violent criminals, it undermines the entire criminal justice system. Some liberal judges, like Susan Crawford, do just that, and her record proves it. Crawford gave 4 years to a guy who sexually assaulted a 6-year-old. She gave 2 years to a guy who beat up his girlfriend and also shot a man. and Crawford gave only 90 days for a guy who brutally beat and strangled a woman. We need a Supreme Court judge who will make public safety a top priority, who will interpret the rule of law in a firm but fair manner, and will not legislate from the bench. More than 80 sheriffs agree, liberal Judge Susan Crawford would make it harder for us to keep you safe.
Call Susan Crawford at 608-266-4231 and tell her to stop releasing dangerous criminals. Paid for by WMC Issues Mobilization Council.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air. Hell is in.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Hell must be empty because everyone's here. You can join us as well. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just BS, work on the board. James Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, joining me today on a Friday. Of course, you know how we roll. Wrap the day up with something good. So if you got something good, think about it. Join us in the last segment and share it with the audience so we can go home with a smile on our face. Because I'm getting a little mad right now, Jim. Because some of the texters here, Jack from the Mac. Geez, I don't know if I can trust Muskie to pay off. I'm still waiting for Soros checks for the 3 town halls I attended. Yeah, where's our Soros money, man? I haven't gotten that yet. What else we got? Isn't what Musk wants to do to our election a kind of fraud? A texter from the 608 asks, can't Josh Call do something? This just can't be legal. Well, I mean, unfortunately, WMDX texter, it might probably is, right? I mean, he's not impacting the vote, and that's really what it's all about, right, Counselor?
He's not acting. He is acting in another capacity as a government official. Iowa senator was laughed out of the
Grassley,
room the other night when Grassley, yes, that's it, when he said, no, Elon Musk has no power. But in this area, once again, I can go out, you can go out tomorrow and circulate a petition if you want to. Maybe I can attach some money to it. It's certainly not official in that sense. But I think the caller there and Jeannie before are onto something. It's fraud with a small f. Why? Because the cynicism of this is that it assumes that people believe that this actually has, number one, some impact. But beyond that, the things that are said in this particular petition, they're just plain wrong. We talked before, Jeannie talked about this as well. I pulled up here during the break, the flyer that I got here on my front door here. This is Donald Trump, and it's actually for Brad Schimmel, of course. And the cynicism here is that if you vote for Brad Schimmel, apparently, you're not only voting for Donald Trump, but you're also going to secure borders. You're going to make cities safer. And you're going to have sensible spending. Let's talk about those. Secure borders, that's the federal government, not the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Safer cities, we all know that's village presidents and mayors who work on crime. And sensible spending, that's basically your county board, your legislature, your assembly, putting together budgets. Not with the exception of some small little tendrils, none of these has anything to do with the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And yet, of course, the important thing here is this fellow's picture and this notion that somehow by putting Brad Schimmel, this is the cynicism of this is that by putting Brad Schimmel on the court, you are somehow going to make our borders more secure. That's completely wrong. And again, that's the fraud, maybe with a small F, that I think we're talking
Jim,
about.
Jim, who printed that? Who was responsible? They tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, this is paid for by America PAC, not authorized by any candidate, does say plainly.
And that's Schimmel's. I'm sorry, that's Musk's, I believe, isn't it? America
exactly,
PAC?
Exactly, right?
I think it is, yeah.
You got the back.
Oh yeah,
that's one of a couple that are.
Well, and it's amazing. So you got Donald Trump on the front, you have Susan Crawford on the back, no picture of Brad Schimmel.
Right, right, exactly. Right.
That guy's so bad, man. They don't even want to promote him.
You have to wait till today's picture. Where once again, you do get Donald Trump and you get Brad Schimmel.
Oh, there's one of Brad. All right. Good to know. Right. BS. We're gonna call him BS.
Trump, right? It's all cynical. It's all wrong.
Yeah, but we can't have these political activist judges.
No, right. I mean, they must, you know, bend to the will of an authoritarian, overreaching, overexpansive, you know, monarchy wanting to be executive manager. And let's talk about it. All right. So BS recently said once again, Jim, on an interview at a conservative talk radio show, we got to bank our votes. Make sure this is too big to rig, so we don't have to worry. At 11:30 in Milwaukee, they're going to find bags of ballots they forgot to put in to the machines. They're throwing this trope out again, Jim. Every time, and this could have been fixed. The assembly passed a law allowing Milwaukee to start counting those votes early. The Senate blocked it. It was a bipartisan effort, obviously, coming out of Voss's assembly. They want this argument. They want this thing to continually scare people about. But this is how the business is done, unfortunately. And either Brad Schimmel is super, super ignorant, as dumb as a bag of hammers.
Sack of hammers.
Or he's purposefully misleading the Wisconsin citizens on how voting is done. Jim, I know, obviously, you're a counselor. You also work at your local polling booth. What's your thought on the way these Republicans continually present how the counting is done in Milwaukee?
Two or three things are wrong with this. Number one, we know that there really is no voter fraud in America. It's virtually impossible to have a conspiracy that broad. So that broad notion is simply wrong. This issue of finding huge bags of votes, and yes, every so often there's an additional group of them that are identified. They are counted, they're put in the process, they're part of the final tally. The impossibility of this happening, wedded with that scare notion, once again, that gosh, those other folks are going to take this election away from us. And so this is the reason why you've got to get to the polls to make certain that the margin is so great that even the fraudsters can't overcome it. Again, cynicism unbound, frankly, Judge Schimmel and former District Attorney Schimmel, Lawyer Schimmel, all of that is just contemptuous. And again, it's intended to invoke our lowest common denominator when it comes to voting and the way that we do that in America and right here in Wisconsin.
And it's hard to know what goes on in the man's head, but once again, Republicans through the assembly had an option to change this so they could actually start counting those votes early. There's lots of people in Milwaukee that vote absentee. It's the biggest right. city in the state. Mathematically, it's just what it is. And
a full
everybody,
10% of the state's population lives in that city.
You know, everybody right. knows how it works, man. The Republicans, the staffers. I mean, back in 2016, I remember when the votes were coming down, or maybe it was an election after that. Some of the Republicans even saying, well, Milwaukee hasn't landed yet. And, you know, you can look statistically at the voting in Milwaukee and assume it's going to be probably around the same, right? Whatever, 80-20, 70-30, whatever that number is, Democrat versus Republican, is going to come in. And perhaps because of the absentee nature of them, more of those might be Democratic-leaning votes. And you can look at it. No, there's a big gap there, and a big chunk of that gap that's still to come in is going to be Democratic. You know that's happening. Everybody knows that's happening, except Brad Schimmel. Except for Brad Schimmel. And of course, what is it really all about? Those scary black people in Milwaukee don't know how to count. Right, BS? Hey, come back with us. We got more on Brad Schimmel. Dug this one up. What do you think he would do about interracial marriage back in the 50s? Stick around.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
for WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A recent report released by Insurify found that Wisconsin drivers have the second highest rate of receiving speeding tickets in the country. According to the report, nearly 8% of drivers in the state have at least one speeding ticket on their record, trailing only North Dakota at nearly 9%. Experts say the data may not be a commentary on drivers in the state as much as targeted enforcement efforts conducted by law enforcement authorities. They also say the state's roads are generally kept in good condition, which could contribute to speeding. As the nonpartisan Wisconsin Supreme Court election draws near, even more money is flowing into a race that's already seen tens of millions in spending in support of both candidates. According to an Axios report, one of Elon Musk's political action committees is offering Wisconsin voters $100 to sign a petition opposing what they call activist judges. While the group has no way to verify who a petition signer ends up voting for, it will get access to their contact information and be able to connect with them again in the future. One of the largest firearm manufacturers in the United States will be relocating their entire manufacturing operation to Wisconsin. Henry Repeating Arms plans to relocate to a newly expanded state-of-the-art headquarters in Rice Lake with two additional facilities in Ladysmith. Company officials say they're also working on opening up a third facility in Ladysmith over the summer. Their current manufacturing operations are run out of Bayonne, New Jersey. Officials say the transition will allow them to increase production and improve collaboration. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers visited Superior on Thursday, meeting with area veterans to hear about their concerns. In a roundtable at the Richard I. Bong Veterans Historical Center, Governor Evers highlighted his budget proposal and the investments aimed at helping Wisconsin's veterans. Those investments include things like expanding mental health care access, promoting affordable housing, and providing property tax relief for veterans. The proposals come as veterans express concerns over potential cuts to programs at the federal level. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's looking more and more like we should all avoid heading to the theaters to see The Alto Nights, where Robert De Niro plays gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese. That's right, he plays both roles. Despite what producers thought was a solid script and Barry Levinson directing, the crime thriller is drawing only 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not sure if De Niro playing two roles has anything to do with it, but how hard could it have been to find another actor and not rely on a gimmick? Actress Jenny Slate initially supported her co-star Blake Lively in her sexual harassment complaints against Justin Baldoni. The three actors were all in the film It Ends With Us, where the controversy started. In a recent interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Slate, the star of Bob's Burgers and FX's new series Dying for Sex, says she only wanted to talk about her new show and will no longer discuss anything involving Baldoni, Lively, or It Ends With Us. All this drama will no doubt be a miniseries one day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly clear sky tonight, a low in the mid-teens. Sun to start Saturday, then some clouds for the afternoon, a high in the low 40s. Rain moving in Sunday, the wind picks up, high in the mid 40s, rain to snow in the late afternoon and evening.
It's 46 right now.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
More farm-related programs being canceled. Those affect more than $1 billion in purchasing local food from farmers for food banks.
These types of programs, it gets high-quality food to people who need it at an affordable price. It's a win-win-win, and it's just a really good investment in these rural economies.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we've got Angela Lang from Block here as our co-host for the day. Also, Representative Darren B. Madison, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
I'm not afraid to
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Just PS working hard on the board. James Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, broadcasting right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m., joining me for the day. Thank you, Jim. And folks, if you haven't checked that show out, do so. He dives, Jim, you do a hell of a job diving into deep into the topics that we really kind of brunch here, man, because I don't do the homework like you do, man. And we appreciate you coming around.
It gets a little wonky when my own family says to me afterwards, Jim, way too much. You know, I need to pull it back a bit, but we try.
I love it, man. So thank you for joining us, and make sure you check him out 9 to 11 on Saturdays. Real quick, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting a crash has closed lanes on I-94 westbound in the stadium interchange here in Milwaukee. So if you're all getting around, be careful out there. Make sure you plan a little extra time. Again, a crash closing lanes on I-94 westbound, according to the Journal Sentinel. Callers, we see you there. Be patient. We'll get to you in just a moment. We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race here and the candidates. Judge Susan Crawford, vote for her. And the other guy, BS. And this guy who's, you know, initials are BS and he spews BS. And I really get mad when I continue to hear Team Trump fighting for Wisconsin. Exactly. Jim's holding up. Man, you're getting deluged over there.
Oh, I get these 2 and 3 a day now.
Oh, my
God. Look at this picture, right? Right. There's the three of them.
Donald Trump, Brad Schimmel, and J.D. Vance. Yes, totally.
BS.
He's going to be Team Trump fighting for Wisconsin.
Now, he needs a support network.
Who is that from, Jim, if I may ask?
So this is from, let's see. This is also the America PAC. Absolutely.
Okay.
Right? Austin, Texas.
And so I take great umbrage with the Republicans continuing to stir the pot and lie to people. And frankly, it's racist. It's a total lie the way that Milwaukee counts their ballots. And it bothers me. So y'all know that. But there's more to BS than just that particular BS. He's got a career, folks. And I got some audio dating back years.
Uh-huh.
So I dug this one up because it just kind of came to me again because it bothered me then and it bothers me now. Here is Brad Schimmel. I guess when he was running for AG in 16, maybe. It's a while ago, 9-10 years ago, maybe. 11 years ago, maybe. Being interviewed by, I believe it was like Oshkosh, some public television in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. But anyway. Listen to this, and then, Jim, I want to get your reaction as well. Play it, please, Jess.
The audio's a little crunchy. Just listen to the words.
But if you had been attorney general in, say, the 1950s, in a state that did not allow interracial marriage, do you think the proper role of an attorney general then was to not put himself or herself into the mix and say this is wrong?
It is. And I understand the argument.
Your job is to uphold the law, even if it's something that we might back in the future as absurd or something.
Well, it might be distasteful to me.
Okay.
But.
Right. I appreciate your answer.
I've got to stay consistent with that as the state's lawyer. It's not my job to pick and choose.
I have so many problems with that. Number one, sure it is. It's kind of your job to pick and choose, prosecutorial discretion. And number two, I think, oh man, I mean, if I was attorney general in Alabama back during slavery, I'd really not like to, you know, punish these slaves, but it's the law.
It's the status quo.
Come on. This is the guy who wants to be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Jim. Last to unpack there. What's your sense as a licensed attorney when you hear something like that?
Right. It is outrage. And again, even if it was 10 or 11 years ago, even if it was 10 months ago, it doesn't make a difference. Frankly, to go back much longer than that, here's your Supreme Court bit for the day, which is 1967, Brad. I suspect you may have been born then. I don't know exactly what your age is, but somewhere right around there. And the Supreme Court said, yes, let's all put our hands together unanimously, that under our Constitution, it's been around at that time, not quite 250 years as it is today, unanimously establishing a privacy right to marriage as you want it, interracial marriage. Every single member of the Supreme Court, including people who were appointed by Republican presidents, Democratic presidents, this is a timeless issue. The Supreme Court at that time was catching up, candidly, with civil rights in America and saying, no. Again, it has the wonderful name of Loving versus Virginia is the name of the case. And Brad Schimmel, even as late as 10 years ago, whenever he recorded that, the response should have been that we live in the time in which we live. I am proud to embrace the notion of privacy rights. Everyone has a right to live as they want to live, marry who they want to live with, love who they want to live. That's the appropriate affirmation. And this notion that somehow you have to be consistent and cannot, as you just said, Dom, cannot, as the Attorney General, be an advocate for appropriate change that delivers justice, due process, equal protection under the law. That's the commission. That's the oath of office that you take, Mr. Attorney General. Completely wrong, Brad. And it's appropriate to raise it again because, again, not so long ago, that kind of mindset is also the mindset that's running right now to be on our Supreme Court in 2025.
So I just want to pick up just a touch on that, Jim. Schimmel says, well, the law might be distasteful, but it's not that. The law blatantly goes against our U.S. Constitution. So is this not a case where if you're trying to become the chief law officer of a state, you have to come out and say, no, I will obey the U.S. Constitution. And if my state's law goes against that, you better be damn sure I will challenge it.
Absolutely. And that is exact. Jess, you need to teach law school yourself, among many other things. And that's exactly right. That's precisely what an attorney general should be doing, ensuring once again that the fundamental principles that are in our Wisconsin Constitution about due process and equal protection, in addition to our federal constitution, are upheld. We often talk, it is overstated, but you know, the arc of justice is long, and yes, we continue to move in the right direction. You've got to be the one, as the people's lawyer, who's out there advocating for greater civil rights, greater human rights. That's the commission that you take. Distasteful, again, that's the cynicism that I'm talking about, right? That's the appeal to those people who just don't like that notion that there may be people of different races who are marrying. Frankly, we know, again, Obergefell years later, people of same-sex marriages who are marrying, that sort of thing. That's an application to their inappropriate response, which is, I just don't like that. He's basically sanctioning those people who would turn back Loving versus Virginia and Obergefell and Windsor and all the other cases that talk about privacy rights in America, not the least of which, of course, is Dobbs, right? Overturning Roe versus Wade, the ultimate privacy right case in American jurisprudence.
If they can overturn Dobbs, man, they can go after the other ones, although maybe some Supreme Court justices may have some issue with that, if or not. We don't know. There's some interracial marriage going on there.
Right. And to the extent, frankly, to take this one step further, you know, I suspect that this present candidate for the Supreme Court, he hasn't spoken on this directly, but certainly there's an analogy very recently to Clarence Thomas, right? This is a guy in a concurrence just in the last term who said, you know, maybe we need to visit not only these privacy rights issues, but also Brown versus Board of Education. Supreme Court justice said that. And one has to wonder out loud if indeed with that kind of encouragement, that seed being planted, that's also when you say, well, gee, maybe we should go back to a time when, again, there was not equality and we did not have something approaching equality in America.
Yeah, we don't have it now. And we endeavor more so than we did before. But you can't tell me we're there and to think we're going to go back. I mean, look what they're trying to do with the schools. I mean, a lot of the work of the Department of Education is to address those kinds of issues. And they don't like that. And they want to send their kids to these private schools, but they want to pay for it. They want to use the tax dollars. They got all sorts of problems. But, Jim, I digress. 855-752-4842. I believe that's the BS update for the day.
Indeed.
All right, Cindy from Appleton, you are next. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us? Hello, Cindy.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say keep calling him BS because that's what he is, and that's, and that's what he's full of. And his age, 12.
It doesn't get much. Yeah, he's not a very deep thinker. Let's put it that way. I'm not saying I'm much deeper, but I'm at least in my teens, Cindy. 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Ali from the Northwoods, you are up. Happy Friday, Ali. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, my question is for Jim Santel. My ears picked up this morning when I heard this first on the news, the same as James did. When he is asking for all these people to say that they disagree with the activist judges, and say 500 or 1,000 people are gullible enough to take the $100, what happens when Trump takes his appeal against these judges to the Supreme Court? And they don't necessarily use the information per se, the people's names, etc., but they use the amount of people. And this happens in state after state after state. Wisconsin's just the first one to go. And what happens then?
Right. And so I think what you're talking about, Ali, is, again, here's more Supreme Court wonkiness from Jim Santel, which is you're talking probably about a Brandeis brief. It's after a Supreme Court justice. And it is used. You've got it just right, Ali. On a regular basis, that may be the other reason for doing this. Lawyers can, in fact, look to statistics. They look to the things that are out there. They're not so much legal arguments as much as they are, this is what the population of America is all about. I'm going to give you some information that will hopefully animate your decision. And one has to wonder if these kinds of antics involving getting, again, a petition and saying, gosh, in Wisconsin, there are 1,000, there are 10,000 people who believe strongly in this. That can end up in a brief to the Supreme Court as an attempt to try to persuade them of a particular view. And so, yes, indeed, a Brandeis brief, there's your word for it. And it usually used for positive purposes to advance civil rights, but can also be used again for inappropriate purposes if lawyers choose to do so and parties choose to do so. That's the challenge.
Jim, do the courts, when they consider these kinds of petitions and statistics, take into account whether or not they're paid? You know what I mean?
Right.
Hey, absolutely. I got a bunch of people I paid that agree with me about right. X, Y, or Z. We better right. do something about it. Oh, of course, that's a bunch of bull, right? I mean, but how do you distinguish that? I mean, if that were to come around. And the other thing, could this be used, if not necessarily to Ollie's point, in a court case, but to impeach the judge?
Right, sure. All those kinds of things. You go on the floor of the House of Representatives right across the parking lot, and you say, look, in the state of Wisconsin, we've got all these people who are outraged by this. We've got to vote to impeach. You fill in the name of the federal judge. Absolutely. The arguably good news with a very small g is that, yes, if you drop that footnote about what's going on in Wisconsin, you better be sure that the opposing side is going to say, members of the Supreme Court, this was purchased. And they will also do their own version of a Brandeis brief and explain how it is that that particular little package of information should be discarded in their deliberation.
855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. You know, I just keep thinking, you know, the Budweiser distributor, the driver, is not drinking Miller products. You know what I mean? And what right. was OJ? Was he Hertz or I forget what he was, but they're not driving the other car. You know, when you're a paid endorsee of a thing, it really is a whole different animal than if it's something organic, in my humble opinion. Folks, come back with us. Give us your humble or not so humble opinions. Welcome here. 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Lots to get to today, but we'll take your calls next.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. A Washington state audit of rejected 2020 mail-in ballots offers insight on whose ballots are more likely to be rejected and recommends actions to reduce that number, over 37,000 in 2024. Primary reasons for rejection include ballots received or postmarked after Election Day, a missing signature on a ballot envelope, or the voter's signature couldn't be confirmed. Auditors found 2020 rates varied from a high of 1.5% in Franklin County to 0.02% in Columbia County, but they also found higher rejections of younger voters, 18 to 21, where 2.6% of ballots were rejected, and black voters at 2.5%. They also found that non-native English speakers were 47% more likely to have ballots rejected. Signature issues can often be cured, but many voters don't or can't correct it. The auditors recommended outreach programs on college campuses, sending letters and calling voters with curable signature issues, more training on signature verification, opening early voting centers 18 days before the election, an advisory committee for disabled voters, and ballot drop boxes for every 15,000 voters. In the 2024 general election, Washington's statewide rejection rate had dropped to 0.94%, but of those, over 24,000 were rejected for a mismatched signature. Find a link to the audit at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Matt Nair on air.
You may say to yourself, self, what if I want to contact Doge and let him know that I'm unhappy with these cuts?
Do you know who had the same idea? Congressman Mark Pocan.
We couldn't get that number off the Doge website, and they literally just said that there is no one that you can speak to, and they didn't provide anything.
The administration of transparency. But you can't talk to anybody. That's okay.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. Join us on the lines, 855-752-4842. Hanging out with Jess P.S. on the board. James Santel, host of Amicus The Law Review, joining me today. Check his show out tomorrow on Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m. Thank you, Jim. Got a callers. Let's get to them and lots of topics to get to. Federal judges, are they going to go after Donald Trump? Law firms, some of them are standing up. Some of them are paying off. What is happening there? They're not selling out. They're buying in, Jim.
It's called capitulation, right? It's capitulation, Dom.
And of course, I've been harping all week trying to get to the point of what's going on with the Democratic Party. Who's the leadership? Who are we talking about? What's the effort? We're going to get there in the next hour as well. But in the meantime, let's get these callers, 855-752-4842. Joe from Madison, you are next. Welcome. What do you got, Joe?
I really want to applaud you for making the change, I think prompted by Chris yesterday, but to refer to Mr. Schimmel as just simply BS is
yes,
the way to describe him. He's BS boy, and let us continue that as we go up to the election, because the guy is full of it, and his being full of it has real-life ramifications. I want to return to that issue of the rape kits. There's an article that people can look at called Title, it's from January 29th, 2025, Urban Milwaukee. You can find it online. Title is Schimmel Haunted by Rape Kit Issue. I would hope that the guy never gets an ounce of sleep for the rest of his pathetic life after reading this. It is enraging. He was elected, okay? He's elected Attorney General in 2015, all right? 2015, yeah. There is a backlog of over 6,000 rape kits sitting there. In September, he gets federal money of I believe it is $4 million at that time to go ahead and start processing these rape kits. And he has a nice little press release he reveals. Isn't that nice? A year later, Appleton Post-Crescent reports that he hasn't processed one single rape kit. $4 million, 6,000 rape kits, zero. Then we get another federal grant for another $1 million. So he's got $5 million to address this problem of the untested rape kits. And what does he do? He sits on it. His office says he's tested hundreds. 2 days later, his spokesperson has to say, it's just 9 that have been processed. 9. in 2 years. This is the level of competence we are going to be getting if Brad Schimmel is back in our lives. He is a BS artist of the most immense proportions, and this matters, people. It's like 25% of those people who are sexual offenders reoffend. So those untested rape kits, man, that's your daughter, your girlfriend, your wife, your friends. Think about it. Do you want to have this level of incompetence in your life? BS boy is the way to describe him. And pathetic performance. Anybody who had a performance like that in their private life, private job, would be canned. They'd be absolutely canned. This is pathetic. BS boy is the way to describe him. Thanks, you guys.
And Joe, it is about competence. You're right. You do have to be competent to serve on a Supreme Court. There's something administrative about that. I'm going to pluck up and pursue your second portion of your comment, which is it's about the victims, right? And as a member of the Supreme Court, yes, you can't do things for the southern border. You can't make the cities necessarily safer, all those other things. But you can, in fact, enforce laws. And you're presiding over cases challenging criminal convictions, sentences, all kinds of things in which victims are involved. And if you've got that careless kind of devil-may-care attitude when it comes to preserving the rights of victims of sexual assault and rape in Wisconsin, when you're sitting on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, what is your attitude about all kinds of victims? Yes, sexual assault victims at the top of the list, but also human trafficking, sex trafficking, youth, adults, all monetary victims, white-collar victims, all kinds of things. That is a major role that the Supreme Court has got to embrace. And they enforce it all the time. That, too, is a very important thing when you think about who you want to put on that bench.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. That is James Santel. And Joe, great call. Thank you for, again, reminding us. And it is shameful that was the reaction to an attorney general for that many rape kits, and to come out and get the money and then to lie about it and then, you know, finally get it done. But what did he do in the meantime? I remember he spent like 10 grand on the kicking ass everyday coins, man. Apparently he loved to sign off on his emails with KAED. So he took $10,000 to an out-of-state firm to make up these little commemorative coins, because that's important.
And I will tell you how offended most United States attorneys, and frankly, I would say most other prosecutors around the country were when that came out too. Prosecutors' role is not to, forgive the language once again, kick ass. That's not the role of a prosecutor. Prosecutor's role is to preserve the safety and security of the community. And yes, along the way, we prosecute crimes. We ensure that people, if they have in fact committed violent crimes, probably spend some time in jail. That's the purpose, not to get after people and kick ass. Again, it expresses, it reveals an attitude that you do not want on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
But you want it on the radio, man, because I kick all the ass and take all the names.
That was your New Year's resolution, and I think you're living up to it.
Thank you so much. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. We got some callers here, so stick around. We'll take you on the other side prior to getting into some of these other topics. James Santel, host of Amicus, a law review. Going to stick around for the whole next hour, Jim. Thank you so much for doing so. Really, really want to get your interpretation of what's going on the federal bench with these cases against Donald Trump and the Department of Justice. You used to work there, right? And what they are saying, telling the judge, hey, you're beating a dead horse. I mean, is that the kind of talk you have in federal court? I just think, man, it sounds like these prosecutors sound like me sometimes. Come back with us, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome This Week in Waukesha host Don Brown and Milwaukee native and writer-director of Just a Bit Outside, Sean Hanisch. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Todd Alba Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look, Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. Had, I know. You know, it's just all over the world. I mean,
you have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
In well, I mean, we have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a hearing today in the deportations case. The judge who halted deportation flights to review President Trump's use of wartime act wants more information.
An attorney for the ACLU, which has brought this case, said if the president's power isn't checked, Trump could claim gangs from other countries have invaded the U.S. and then start deporting more people without hearings. It's a prospect Judge James Boasberg called awfully frightening, adding that President Trump's use of the Alien Enemies Act seems to him an unprecedented use of a law that's only previously been invoked in times of declared war. The administration argues court shouldn't be able to tie the president's hands as he uses this power.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. In London, some flights are resuming at Heathrow Airport. That after a fire nearby knocked out power today, bringing flights to a standstill. The cause is unknown. Authorities say they don't suspect foul play. And another round of volatile storms taking aim in the South and Midwest this weekend. This is ABC News.
I'm James.